Welcome to the In Their Own League podcast. I'm Morgan, one of the writers over at the site In Their Own League. Today, I'm bringing you an interview I was able to do with the wonderful writer of the new Sundance film, Am I Okay?, Lauren Pomeranz. The film, Am I Okay?, is co-directed by Stephanie Allen and Tig Notaro and follows best friends Lucy and Jane as they navigate their early 30s and the ebbs and flows that come with life. Jane, portrayed by Sonoya Mizuno, is an eager woman looking to expand her career and the opportunities there. Lucy, portrayed by Dakota Johnson, is coming to terms with her sexuality and dating in a new dating pool in the city. Lauren and I spoke about the film, what it means to be at Sundance, as well as crafting probably one of the funniest movies that you will watch this year. We also had some fun questions at the end, and spoiler alert, the correct answer for everything is Bette Midler. So without further ado, here is our interview. Okay, so Lauren, thank you so much for joining me, and congratulations on the film.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Well, I think one of the things that I just want to start with is I'm sure Sundance is a pinch me moment. So how has your Sundance experience been?
It really is. Like, it's a strange thing because I was the film school nerd. And so Sundance was always the thing you aspired to be included as a part of. And so it really is a pinch me moment. And, you know, it's weird this year because it's virtual. Which I'm a bit of a germaphobe, so there's a part of me that was a little relieved because large crowds frighten me, but it's still been pretty great. Like, and I think in this new way of the virtual world, like, so many more people could see it than would have seen it at the festival and from all over the world and all over the place. And even my friends locally got to see it. So it's been really fun, and talking to everybody has been really fun and interesting, and it's wild. It's really nuts.
Well, what a great film to have premiere at Sundance. I think I'm gonna just start kind of big first, but this film is both very witty and extremely heartfelt. So how in the writing process are you capturing all of those lovely things in it?
Well, as a therapist, you might say that I deal with a lot of things through comedy. So the darker things, I think I always have tended to make lighter because it's easier to get through the day. So I think those coming out feelings and all of those feelings that I dealt with that I put into the movie, I always try to kind of balance that with humor. So hopefully I hope that comes across. Like, I want the heartfelt moments to also be light. I think that's something that is important to me in everything I write.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I find so intriguing is I think comedy, drama's easy because we've all been like 15. Drama just comes naturally, but I think humor is so much more delicate because it's so personal. So how do you kind of decide, like, what joke you're going to put in there and whether or not it's going to land?
I truly never know. I never know what's going to work and what's not going to work there. Like, so it's hard to even say, because I think in other things I've written where I'm like, oh my God, this is going to be so funny to literally every single person, and like, nobody likes it. Then I feel like then there's the opposite where I'm like, I'm just going to try this and see whatever. And then like, that's the funniest thing. So sometimes I feel like I have no idea, and I just write what I feel works in the moment and what I want to. And I think I like to write how people talk as much as I can. Yeah. So, you know, some of it is, especially in this movie, I can really pull from real experiences and hope that other people find them humorous.
Yeah, because it, and I'll talk a little bit more about some of the other things, but just even the very small details of, you have two friends at one point going out to a bar and everyone's keeping it together. And the minute they go to the bathroom, someone is sobbing on the toilet. Like, that just feels both personal and just like, oh, I've walked in on that. I've been one of those people.
Definitely. I've noticed with girlfriends and like, and I mean, lesbians, like when I go out to dinner with my wife, which is so infrequent now because of COVID, but when we go to dinner, just the two of us, somebody always cries.
Yeah.
And like, you always, and I've like, I've been at the restaurant where you look over and you're like, oh yeah, those are lesbians. One of them is crying. And I've been the person where I'm like, oh my God, why, how can we, every single dinner, somebody cries. But with friends too, like you have that, it's just emotion filled. So yeah, I've definitely walked in the bathroom where someone's sobbing.
Yeah.
Well, I've been that person for sure.
I mean, I feel like that's a very female experience of, you know, those types of things. And then one of the pieces of the film, and it's not the whole film, which I love, because I think that we sometimes reduce movies to people's sexuality. But one of the pieces of the film is that one of the characters is coming out later in life and coming to terms with her sexuality. And that coming out scene, I think, is probably going to go down as like a perfect cinematic moment. It is just so tender and so sweet, and something that you would expect two people with good rapport to have. So can you talk about that scene and crafting that, and then what you've now seen?
That is one of my favorite scenes, if not my favorite scene in the movie, because Dakota does just an absolutely incredible job in it. They both do, but you know, we shot several angles and many times, and it was like, it was a day that it was later in the day that we were shooting, and the consistency with which she did that scene time and time again. And like, that was the day that I was standing at the monitors watching the camera shot. And I was like, this is nuts. I can't believe this is happening. And she is like nailing it, and she gets it. And I wrote it probably 10 billion times over and over again, that scene. And that was a scene that I had to, even my wife, like I had to go back and remember all of those feelings, because at the time that it happened to me, it was such a big deal. And I was, you know, losing my mind. And now like years later, it was weird, because my wife was like, when she was going through it, she was like, you know, remember how hard that was. Remember that feeling. And it's based on a real conversation I had with my friend Jessica, who's also a producer on this movie, and based, who's Jane is based on. And we were in Palm Springs and we went away for the weekend. And that was when I told her that I thought I maybe liked girls. And, you know, there was just like, it was so fraught and there were so many tears. And, but also like some levity. So like that scene was the most important scene to me. Like the movie, I think, lives or dies on that scene. And watching Dakota do it was just like a masterclass. It was incredible. So I'm so grateful for that. And I think that is my favorite scene. Cause I was like, oh boy, this is the most important scene. And so you have to be along with her for the ride. And I hope that you are.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it really is such a beautiful scene. And I think that it kind of highlights the fact that this film is about friendship first and foremost, and that these are just kind of the facets that we bring into our relationships with others. So I'm kind of wondering if you can talk about that friendship piece, because it's like, I would be friends with both of them.
Right. Yeah. The movie, actually, I started writing it as a friendship movie. I started it before I came out, before I wanted to talk about coming out. And Jessica and I would like, I was living in New York. She was here. We met, we were like, we became phone friends because we were both working for people who worked with each other. And when I moved out here, we became just like instantly close. And we had this like crazy dynamic where she just like told me what to do and I did it all. And so as those moments like built and progressed, we were like, I wanted to write a movie about like two, you know, best female friends. And that was to me like very interesting. But I wanted to make sure I was saying something that hasn't been said before, something that made it, you know, interesting and different and unique. And so that's when I came out and I started struggling with that. That's when I was like, oh, this is what I want to do. And this is the story I want to tell. But I think because it started as a friendship story, that's where the roots are. And so it was really fun to kind of dive into our friendship and pull from real things, like muffins are real and like the things that really happened that we found, at least, you know, I found funny because they were so nuts. But yeah, so I think like I did want to make it a friendship story, excuse me, first and foremost, and but add like another layer to it that it was also something we really went through together.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other piece to it as well is you have these women who are in their early 30s who do not have it together. And I think that cinematically, we have this notion that you turn 30 and all of a sudden you're magically a put together person. And, you know, as someone who turned 30 last year, that is very untrue. So what is that like to kind of writing that the messiness of life still continuing?
Cathartic. It's very cathartic because I think that's true. And I think that was something I had a really hard time with, and it was pressure I put on myself, but based on everything we've seen in movies and TV and in our lives, I guess, but where I thought, God, I really, really, really should have figured this out. Everyone's figured this out but me. Why didn't I work on this sooner? And, you know, I think that applies to every aspect of life, and whether it's sexuality, career, other relationships. You know, I know friends who are like, I have to buy a house by this time, and I have to do this by this time, and I want to be at this level of my career at this time. And like, it really means nothing in the, you know. And I remember that I had a friend when I was living in New York who said, don't peak early. Like her mom had said, don't peak early. And that was like something I think I always fell back on. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to peak early. But I think that's true. Like, you know, I was like a nerd in high school. And like, it took me a little bit longer to find my way. And that's okay. But I didn't feel that at the time. So writing about it was very helpful. And I hope that, you know, it helps other people, and especially with sexuality, because I think there are people who it's so easy, and that's mm-hmm. wonderful. And I know for even like younger people in my family, it's like no big deal. And like, you don't even have to announce it and all of those things. And it's like, great, 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 great. But for me, it just wasn't that way. And I think for a lot of people, it's just not that way.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it is about the journey, and that the journey is not linear or structured. Yes. And, I mean, the film feels very much, not to compare it, but to give it like a companion to it. Like Lynn Shelton films. I don't know if you're familiar with her work, but I
compliment.
Yeah. She's my favorite filmmaker. And I feel like that's really hard to capture, kind of that love and honesty. And so I'm kind of wondering, like, obviously you said that you were basing that off of your real life friendship, but even kind of the other kooky characters you still genuinely care for, like Molly Gordon's hot mess cat, or, you know, like Jermaine Fowler is so great as this boyfriend that I don't think that we get to see on screen. So what was it like also trying to have those smaller characters both feel lived in, but not take away from obviously our focal relationship?
Well, I wanted to make them real people, and with like significant roles in these characters' lives, and though they too were based on real people, they were based probably on like combinations of people. Like Jessica used to make me hang out with, I would say, a lot of cats, and we still talk about, I mean, just like the things that she made me do. And so I kind of put all of them into Cat, and I feel like I did. I don't know if like I had an actual conversation where they asked if my shirt was from the Gap, but like I've had those types of conversations. And so I felt like I wanted to be really specific with those characters and draw from real people. And so that's what I did. And I hope that they feel like, you know, real and not just sort of there to fill up space, but I want them to, you know, play a part in these people's lives.
Yeah. Well, that's what I got from the film. And
I'm happy.
The film also is directed by Stephanie Allen and Tig Notaro, who were in the great film In a World, to then make this film together and with you. What was it like kind of handing that piece to the filmmaking to them?
It was great. It was great because Stephanie has a very similar story to mine. So when I sent them the script, they really responded to the story because Stephanie came out later and there were a lot of things she related to. And they were extremely collaborative with me, which was, I couldn't have asked for a better situation because I don't think that's always the case. And even if it's a personal story, you know, the writer doesn't always get to be in on it. But they were so collaborative and great. And so we spent a lot of time together before shooting, like talking about it, talking about the script and making some changes and really talking about like what I was hoping to convey and what they wanted to convey. And it was great. Like it was so, they were very, very generous and so talented and did a great job, I think. And, you know, even we were together during the actual shoot, we were like in a little video village together, and they were very collaborative even then. And it made me really grateful.
Yeah. What is it like to watch your screenplay come to life as you're sitting there at Video Village?
It is bizarre and wonderful, but it was like surreal, like because of COVID, there were a couple Video Villages. So Jessica, who was also there during production, was in a different Video Village. But like the first day we started shooting, she came over to ours and was like, "What is happening right now? Like, are we making this movie?" And it's like, yeah, like, this is crazy. And a lot of it, we shot at places that I used to go to all the time by coincidence. And so it was like surreal, very, very surreal, but very exciting.
Well, and one of the other characters that people, I don't know if they're talking about, is the city of Los Angeles. Because mm-hmm. I think New York kind of gets to be a character in every Noah Baumbach film, but we never get to see LA be a character. So mm-hmm. was that in your original screenplay? And like, how did that kind of come in?
It was originally set in LA, but the thing that I think Tig and Stephanie really pulled out of it was making it a character, because the thing that we talked about a lot was, here's this person who is having such a hard time coming out in Los Angeles, like in a very open, liberal, welcoming, for the most part, city. At the time, I was working for a very open, welcoming gay person. So like all of these things were there for me and this character to like come out to. And she still wouldn't do it, and I still wouldn't do it. That sounds weird. It sounds like I'm talking in the third person. but I still wouldn't do it. And so that became, that was intentionally like kind of added in so that hopefully you'd feel like this city was part of it. And I think they did a great job with that. Yeah, it's interesting. Like, I think you see a lot of like more set on the east side, and we set it a lot on the west side. And kind of purposefully to just sort of feel also like that spa is like, it's, you're literally surrounded by the ocean. You, it's vast, it's open, it's free. And like, I was, you know, I was still so scared. So yeah, that was on purpose.
Yeah. So then was the joke about parking at LAX originally in the script, or did that come up during filming?
That came up later. Because yeah, the ending went through a couple iterations. And so that came up a little bit. That came up, yeah, pretty later on when we were shooting that.
Because I was talking to a friend who lives in LA, and she was like, no one will get that joke except for people who live in Los Angeles.
Yeah, there's probably a few of those. I feel like, and then like in real life, my friend Jessica took me to one of those yoga classes. Oh, but my friend did take me to a crazy, like it was early on when I moved here, this yoga class. And like, I only know yoga as being like very zen and peaceful. And it was like a rap battle. And so I know some people are like, oh my God, oh, that is so LA. So I was happy about that. There are a couple of things that feel pretty LA that I was happy people noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, again, I think it's so nice to see Los Angeles as a character, because it is so much more than just kind of this other place that people like to make it.
Yes, agree.
Yeah. And so one of the things I have to ask too is, because as we talked about, I went to school to be a therapist, so I'll just for free use that very expensive degree. If you could tell yourself at that Palm Springs trip, what would become of that moment that seemed so painful? What's something that you'd say?
It's so funny. I think no matter what I would say, that person would not believe me. That person would absolutely not believe me. That person would say like, no, totally. Like, I get that you think it's going to be okay, but like, it's not. And I would try to say it's going to be okay, and this is actually the best thing that you could do for yourself, and just do it, and everything will fall into place. But 2000, let's see what year that was, 13 or 14, me would say, I don't think so.
Would be very dismissive.
Yeah, carry on.
What has, because I started with, this is my favorite film of the festival.
Wow. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, you sold me on a Mr. Bean joke kind of up top. But what has it been like receiving feedback about the film? Because it's, I mean, yeah, it's a great moment to make it and be there. But when people finally see it, what is?
It's wonderful and encouraging and hopeful and delightful. And it is, I keep saying this, but it's wild. Like, it's just wild. I really, really, really never could have seen this coming. And it's fun. It's really fun to be able to talk to like Jessica about it and to pick out the things people say and liked about it and talk about it and say, oh my God, like, I can't believe like the muffins thing is now out there. Like, it was such a joke within our friend group because it was so bananas, and now it's like referenced. And so it's been, yeah, it's just like, it's great. And I hope at the end of the day, like, I really, really, really just hope it helps. Even if it helps one person out there, I would be ecstatic. Like, that's, I wrote it, I just wanted this movie to get made. Like, that's all I would say over and over again. Just want this movie to get made. I just want it to help the person I was, who was looking for their lesbian movies on at the time, God, probably, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it absolutely will. And because I'm mindful of the time, I do want to ask some kind of rapid fire fun questions that hopefully you haven't been asked in this whole festival. So my first one I love is, what is your favorite comfort film?
I love Bette Midler. Any Bette Midler movie, I would probably say First Wives Club.
Oh, classic. Who is your favorite writer? Even if it's just like right now, a writer that you saw something, read something from that.
Oh, golly. Well, I mean, you know who I'm like currently obsessed with is not a writer. Well, she's a writer. Glennon Doyle. I'm like obsessed with her things right now.
See, perfect.
That can't, like,
it's a great, yeah, it's a great answer. What's your last TV binge?
Ooh, well, we're watching Succession right now. But that is what we are almost done with, but we're like halfway through this last season. And oh God, it's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good.
What's a film that makes you cry every time you watch it?
Like Steel Magnolias.
Oh.
Can't sure. watch without crying. Any of those, Terms of Endearment. I was just talking about that movie. Ooh.
Yeah, those are
Toy Story. Punch.
Oh. Anything Disney likes to just torture you.
Yes. And who were someone leaving for college, forget about it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who is a woman in your industry that you would like to work with?
Bette Midler.
Solid answer.
All of my answers are Bette Midler.
I mean, I feel like Bette Midler invented comedy for me at least, because Hocus Pocus was. Yeah.
Oh, she's a genius. One day.
We'll put it out in the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
Who is a person from an underrepresented community that you think more people should know about and why?
That's a good question too. This won't be a very satisfying answer, but there are people who I know personally.
I've had people even say their moms. So.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
My mom would love if I said my mom. Well, I don't know if I should say her name, but there's somebody who I like work, who I adore, who is like in comedy and just starting out, and she will be known one day. So I'll just like put that energy into the universe, and I hope people get to know her better.
Great. And then when the world gets to know her, you'll get to say,
that was you.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, those are all of my kind of fun wrap-up questions.
That's fun. I like those. Those I've not been asked yet. I have to like have some answers. Female filmmaker who like,
I mean, I spent pretty much most of my quarantine on Instagram, just going through female filmmakers one day during the first year. So I learned a whole bunch of them.
Who's your favorite?
I mean, Lynn Shelton is.
Oh, right. You said that.
Yeah. Lynn Shelton or, I have really been enjoying Mia DaCosta's work, who's up and coming.
You'll have to look.
Yeah.
I need to get out there more.
Well, quarantine is kind of the perfect time to do it.
That's true. Well, my wife we just had twins, so we are, we do so little.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure that is just an added bit of chaos to your life too.
It sure is, but we're doing great.
Wonderful. Well, Lauren, thank you so much for finding time in your clearly very busy day-to-day life to talk with me.
Thank you so much. So nice to meet you.
You as well. Again, thank you so much to Lauren for joining me and talking to me about this beautiful movie. I honestly cannot wait for it to be acquired and for audiences far and wide to see it. It is truly a beautiful film. In Their Own League is also a website with many wonderful writers. You can go to our website, intheirownleague.com, to see film reviews, interviews, and honestly, just everyone loving cinema to their heart's content. We are also over on Instagram at In Their League, as well as on Twitter at Their League. Until next time, thank you all so much for joining us.